Chapter 1. Embers.
Stop! Somebody stop her! Cried a voice, echoing through the stairwell.
Lucy didn't know who it was. She only knew one thing for certain. If she stopped running, she was a dead woman. The moonlit square was filling with startled, disoriented, faithful citizens roused by the ringing fire bell. They poured from the surrounding buildings and stared in horror at the 15th floor of the Custom House Tower. Keeping her head down, Lucy forced her way through the panic, fighting the direction of the crowd as she strove to get away. A man burst out of the fire escape not far behind.
"Which way did she go? Shona's sister! Where is she?" he barked, urgently accosting some first responders who were rushing to the building clutching buckets of water.
Lucy glanced back from the far side of the square and her eyes locked with the man's.
"There!"
he yelled, launching after her. Dozens of heads spun around, fixing on Lucy's retreating figure. She sprinted with all her might, trying to shut out the searing pain from her abdomen, turning corners and weaving through the dark streets with no notion of where she was going. She dived behind a dumpster and panted, clutching the layers of shredded skin hanging from her stomach. The faithful's cries for more water were interspersed by calls for a search party to fan out. Light flickered out from a nearby tunnel. Aquarium Metro Station. Lucy took two gasps of cold night air, then sprinted toward the entrance. She grabbed the handrail and hurtled down the metro steps three at a time. She stumbled out onto the platform, trying to stifle her grunts of pain. A flaming torch illuminated the station. Black floodwater covered the tracks. Floating on top was a raft onto which the torch was fixed. A worker sat on the bench, opposite, dozing.
Hello? He said, climbing hastily to his feet, startled by the footsteps.
Wait a minute. I know you. You're the preacher's cousin.
Not quite,
replied Lucy, trying to steady her breathing as she approached the bench. She shoved her fists into her coat pocket and clenched them hard to mask the trembling of her limbs.
We're in-laws. His wife is my half-sister.
That was it. Shona's been telling everyone about you. She is so excited to have found you. You have no idea. Family's everything to that girl, said the worker with a beaming smile.
Lucy winced a smile in return as guilt ripped her chest.
You here for the grain shipment? It's not due for another hour, said the worker, checking his watch.
No, I'm here to ask a favor.
For Shona,
Lucy added hastily.
Anything for Shona, grinned the worker.
I need to get outside of this area, said Lucy clumsily.
The fire bell echoed faintly down to the silent platform. The worker's eyebrow twitched, and he cocked his head towards the staircase.
It's a secret, for Shona,
added Lucy, hastily drawing the man's attention back.
I can keep a secret,
winked the worker.
Shona's pregnant, with the preacher's child, said Lucy.
For real? Oh, that's great news! What a blessing,
beamed the worker.
Yes, a blessing. A sign from Our Lady, said Lucy, glancing at the staircase. But she doesn't want him to know yet. It's not quite been 3 months, and she's really suffering with morning sickness, and she said there's a secret stash of meds down the line, and that you could take me.
A secret stash? Well, that's news to me, frowned the worker.
Well, it wouldn't be much of a secret if you already knew about it, said Lucy with a forced wink.
A bead of sweat trickled down her forehead. A car engine roared above ground. Incoherent shouts echoed after it.
What's going on up there? Said the worker.
Fire drill. Preacher's idea, of course. He wanted one done while he was away.
Hey, are we good to go?
I don't want to keep Shona waiting, said Lucy.
Oh, sure. Did she say which stop?
Asked the worker.
I think she said end of the line, said Lucy, glancing back at the staircase.
Oh boy, that's gonna take a while, said the worker.
We'd better get moving then. She's in a bad way, said Lucy, stepping onto the raft.
She looked at him expectantly.
Right then, said the worker, climbing in after her.
He cast off, punting them forwards with a long wooden pole. The metro tunnels were plastered in graffiti. A range of symbols, emblems, and scrawled warnings revealed themselves in the torchlight as they glided through the water.
What do the symbols mean? Asked Lucy.
Before the preacher took over, the city was run by different tribes. When the gas ran out, they all fought for control of the T-network. These tunnels are the easiest way to move stuff around, especially if you've been raiding and don't want people to see your loot. Hey, do you smell that?
Lucy sniffed. There was a scent of freshly cut grass, underpinned by the acridity of anise seed. Clinging to the tunnel's steel columns were plants the size of snowdrops, with closed green buds that looked close to blooming. Lucy briefly considered how D4 plants could grow in Boston's infected waterways, especially without light, but she couldn't sustain the thought. The stabbing pain in her abdomen nagged at her consciousness. She grunted, shifting on the bench.
"You okay?" asked the worker. "Something I ate, I think, didn't agree with me," said Lucy.
"Been there, friend. There's only so much you can smoke a bad fish. It's still gone bad," he mused.
Lucy surreptitiously slipped a hand beneath her jacket folds and pressed her fingers to her abdomen.
"Ugh!"
she recoiled, unable to stifle her revulsion. The fleshy sinews stuck to her fingers, which quivered, trapped beneath her jacket. She tried to keep them hidden as they hovered above her lacerated womb.
"You sure you're okay?" said the worker.
"Yeah, just indigestion," winced Lucy. She closed her eyes so tightly that when she reopened them, she saw stars and streaks of red.
"You certain about that? Looks really painful,"
said the worker, nudging the raft forwards.
"I've had it before. It'll pass," stammered Lucy,
trying not to scream as liquid flesh trickled down her fingers onto her wrist. The torn flaps of skin surrounding the wound shivered in the cold, rubbing against the layer of raw skin beneath, like a vast, shredded blister.
"No!"
she cried, flinging her hand out from under the coat and plunging it into the water as if tearing out the fetus all over again. The worker shuffled anxiously, casting Lucy a wary look. He nudged his feet wider apart and picked up the pace. Lucy apologized unconvincingly, breaking off as a fresh wave of pain engulfed her. She gripped the sides of the raft and dug her nails in as the pain reached a peak. She ground her teeth until the agony subsided, leaving behind only the tingling sensation of the shivering flaps of flesh. Her head lolled back as she stifled her erratic breathing. Pieces of graffiti on the tunnel walls appeared to writhe as the torchlight exposed them momentarily before the darkness of the tunnel swallowed them once again.
"Did you have kids before the apocalypse?"
asked the worker, his casual words at odds with his cagey tone.
"No, no kids."
"You?" gasped Lucy as her pain began to rise again.
"I got a little girl. She's my world," said the worker, his tone softening.
"How old?"
grunted Lucy, glancing around for signs of the search party.
4. No, 5 in a few weeks, actually."
"You sure you're okay?"
said the worker, following her craned neck.
"I'm great," said Lucy. "Let me show you a photo of my girl. Hold this, will you?"
said the worker, passing Lucy the wooden pole. Lucy rose to her feet, pausing halfway to clutch her stomach. She exhaled through pursed lips, then stood fully, wobbling the raft slightly as she found her center. The worker passed her the long wooden pole, then turned his back on her. Lucy stared at him, unblinking, as he knelt down, hunched over. She tried to see what was behind him, but his torso blocked the view. He discarded a blanket to the side, and Lucy heard a zip being jerked open.
"Stay there a sec, will you? It's somewhere in here. Don't move," said the worker, crouching down further.
Lucy's eyes flitted around wildly. The graffiti swirled as the boat drifted. Tiny plants appeared to pulsate against the steel columns on which they grew. The flaming torch flickered chaotically, making the worker's movements jarring as he rummaged. 2 metal clicks rang out, like a pistol being loaded.
"Here we go,"
said the worker, straightening up and twisting towards her. With a cry, Lucy brought the pole crashing down on his head. The worker fell backward with a yelp, crumpling to the floor of the raft, one arm falling limply over the side into the water. Blood trickled from his forehead. Lucy stared at the unconscious man who sat splayed like a teddy bear. The raft scraped against the wall, shaken off course by the ruckus. Lucy felt her head clear. The graffiti no longer swirled, but she was suddenly hyper-aware of the labyrinthine layout of the tunnel. Dripping water echoed from the darkness that extended in both directions. Unfamiliar signs aimed at metro drivers and maintenance workers heightened her sense of unease. She leaned forwards and pulled the worker's arm back inside the raft, then resumed the punting, pushing the raft forward as fast as she could through the dark waters. A platform slowly edged into view up ahead. Maverick was repeated across the signs. As she steered closer to the concrete level, her ears pricked up.
"Hello?" came a call from further up the tunnel.
Lucy stood bolt upright, wobbling the raft as she stared ahead. A bend beyond the platform was beginning to glow. The front of a raft edged around the corner. Lucy jolted her raft into the side of Maverick's central platform and staggered out. As she placed a foot on the concrete, a hand grabbed her leg and coat, pulling her back down into the raft.
"Sinner!"
cried the worker, pinning Lucy, his bloodied face bearing down on her. With a scream, she fought back, lashing out at his bleeding head. The pair wrestled fiercely, rocking the raft as they tussled. Lucy kicked the man off and lunged for the platform, but he tackled her around the waist. The pair tripped over the edge of the raft and into the freezing water. Lucy kicked away, but the worker grabbed her coat, holding her back until she wriggled out. He grabbed her by the hair. Lucy turned, ready to kick out, but the worker suddenly let go and backed away hastily, his eyes wide with fear. He rose to the surface and hauled himself into the raft. Lucy realized what he'd seen. Her mutilated abdomen was glowing iridescent purple, shimmering through her clothes in the choppy water. She kicked upwards and grabbed hold of the concrete ledge, then hauled herself onto the platform.
"Sinner!"
spluttered the worker again, staring at her in horror. He grabbed the pole and cast off in fear.
"Help! Over here! Sinner! There's a sinner here!"
he continued, pressing on towards the newcomer's vessel, which was still some way down the tunnel. As his raft edged away, the light faded from the platform. Lucy rushed for the exit in the dwindling glow. Shards of glass crunched beneath her as she raced through the shattered ticket barriers. Moonlight streamed through the glass atrium overhead as she staggered up the escalators onto street level. The temperature was barely above freezing. Trembling with cold and soaking head to foot, she knew she had precious minutes before hypothermia set in. She stumbled forwards, hastening away from the metro station. She zigzagged between blocks, changing direction to throw her adversaries off course, until she emerged at a waterfront. Across the water, the horizon glowed as Custom House Tower burned. The fire had spread in all directions from Lucy's room. Flames raged across the entire upper half of the building. Lucy tripped forward along the waterfront for what felt like an eternity, with her frigid feet growing clumsier as the cold reached her bones. But a sense of direction punctuated the numbing agony. An instinct was drawing her towards a cluster of buildings by the harbor entrance. She cried out as her abdomen stabbed with pain again, forcing her to hunch over and cradle the wound with both arms. When she looked up, her eyes settled on a faint glow, a near imperceptible flicker behind a drawn curtain in a townhouse offset from the road. She dragged herself up the stone steps and banged on the door, crying out for help. She could feel the cold fuzzing her brain. Her hands were completely numb, but her ears told her she was striking the wood hard. As the last of Lucy's energy drained from her body, she slumped against the door, sliding her back down until it collapsed onto the ground. Saliva and mucus ran freely down her numb lips as her cries for help petered out. Her heavy eyelids closed, and she stopped shaking. She couldn't feel the cold anymore. She couldn't feel anything. Not even the wound across her stomach where her hands had come to rest. She imagined the fire bell ringing across the water and the people living in the tower trying in vain to save their home. She pictured Shona's body being engulfed by the flames. She thought of the search car looking for her and the conviction of those driving it. As the world faded into blackness, the door behind Lucy clicked open and she fell backward inside the house. The last thing she heard as she slipped from consciousness was the sound of a stranger gasping.
"She's like us," whispered a voice.
The voice registered with Lucy's brain like a message from a distant planet.
That doesn't mean we can trust her, hissed another. What else can we do? We can't make her leave. They're looking for her, said the first.
Maybe we... Lucy stirred, causing the second speaker to stop abruptly.
She's awake, hissed the first. I can see that, snapped the second.
Lucy sat up onto her elbows, blinking in the artificial light. Her body was covered by a thick quilt, and her clothes felt dry. The air was warm. The room resembled a botanic garden. Moss covered the walls and ceiling. Leafy plants grew out of every crevice, from the baseboards to the sofas. Her eyes focused on the two strangers in front of her, a boy and an older-looking girl. Both were teenagers, and both were covered in lesions. The girl held a pistol, which was trained directly at Lucy.
Stay there, said the girl nervously.
Lucy sat up and raised her hands in surrender.
Who are you? We're no one. Who are you? Snapped the girl.
Lucy.
I'm Jack. She's Fliss, said the boy. What the hell, Jack? Said the girl, scowling.
What's up with your stomach? Said the boy, ignoring his sister and focusing on Lucy.
I'm sick, said Lucy. Is that gonna happen to us? Said Jack, showing the lesions on his own stomach.
Maybe, croaked Lucy, taking in more of the room. Two sleeping bags were laid out on the floor, on top of mattresses and quilts. Lucy's clothes were drying on a chair in the far corner beside a solar-powered lamp. A slither of evening sunlight crept out from behind the curtain. A kettle was boiling on the far corner, courtesy of a large solar battery.
You need to leave, said Fliss.
And go where? Said Lucy, rubbing her scalp. The girl shifted uncertainly.
You were wearing their clothes. Are you one of them? Said Jack.
The Faithful? No, I was hiding in their community, but I got discovered.
What's with all the plants? Said Lucy.
Food,
said Jack.
You're growing them?
We found them here, said Fliss.
Our mom did, corrected Jack.
Where's your mom?
Jack looked away and Fliss shook her head.
I'm sorry.
Look, I don't care where you go, but you have to leave. We don't have enough food for strangers. No one knows we're here and we want to keep it that way. We can't do that if we start letting strangers stay.
Is the gun real?
Yes.
Loaded?
The girl hesitated.
I'll leave, but you should come with me. You'll die here if you don't, said Lucy.
We'll be fine, snapped Jack.
Lucy squinted at him. His face was earnest, emotional, his eyes narrow with grief.
I'm going to D.C. My father-in-law's there. He's a senator. He'll protect all of us. I swear, it's your best chance.
It's your only chance, insisted Lucy.
Even if we wanted to come with you, there's no way out of this city without getting caught by the Faithful. We've tried, okay? That's how they got our mom, said Fliss, letting the pistol fall limply to her side.
Hiding won't work forever. They're hurting people like us. They're gaining recruits every day and using them to cleanse whole districts. How long was I asleep?
Almost 2 days.
Then we don't have much time. The preacher will be back any moment. He'll want vengeance, and I promise you, he'll throw everything he's got at us.
Us, said Fliss. Vengeance for what? Said Jack.
Do you have a car? Said Lucy, casting off the quilt. She was dressed in another woman's jeans and sweater. They were dry and fitted well, if a little baggy. She tried to stand, but her head was light.
Our car broke. You should probably sit for a minute, said Jack.
We don't have time,
said Lucy, steadying herself against the wall. The kettle clicked off and the boy attended, opening the lid and pulling boiled leaves out with a fork.
No one goes out until it's dark. Those are the rules, so sit, said Fliss sternly.
Lucy looked at the girl and considered the pistol. She sat back on the mattress and tried to gather her thoughts. Jack placed a bowl of steaming leaves down beside her bed.
What are you doing? Hissed Fliss.
How's she supposed to leave if she's not even eaten in 2 days? She'll just pass out on our doorstep again, said Jack.
Lucy scooped the bowl up and ate hungrily, blowing the steaming food and chewing aggressively. Her hunger drove her on, pushing past the near-scalding temperature of the leaves until within a minute the bowl was empty.
I hope that was good. You're not getting more, said Fliss.
Both of you should eat, too, and pack. We all need to leave tonight, said Lucy.
I told you, our home is here, began Jack. Not anymore. We've been through this. There's no way out.
Can either of you sail?
No.
No, but...
What?
There's a guy who might know how.
Keep low,
whispered Fliss, as she and Lucy followed Jack along the pier. The fading dusk light gave the moored sailboats and yachts a gentle pink tinge. Across the water shone as accommodation blocks smoldered. The dying flames pawed the charred sides of the stone skyscraper, and thick black smoke stretched high above the city.
It's around here, this one,
said Jack, excitedly arriving at a boat. The cabin windows were covered up. The boat bobbed gently in the water, periodically straining against its mooring ropes. The marina was silent, save for dozens of halyard ropes and cables clicking against their masts in the breeze.
Who wants to try? Said Jack.
Clearly not you, said Lucy, stepping forwards and tapping on the tough plastic window. There was no reply. She tried again, tapping louder this time.
You see that?
Said the boy, pointing across the water to a bridge. A car was speeding across it, away from the faithful Central Territory. It was headed in their direction.
Crap,
said Lucy, giving an urgent final knock at the window when climbing aboard.
What are you doing?
Demanded Fliss.
We need an answer, quickly.
She approached the cabin hatch. Cautiously, she pulled the first flap open, then the second. She peered down the dark companionway.
I can't see anything. Either of you guys gotta... began Lucy.
A rough hand grabbed her by the collar and hauled her down inside the cabin. The teens cried out in shock. As Lucy struggled to find her feet, someone clamped her in a headlock.
Move and I'll break your neck. Understood? Said a gruff voice.
Yes,
rasped Lucy, trying to prise the assailant's strong arms away from her windpipe.
Quit struggling.
I said don't move,
growled the assailant, strengthening their grip. Lucy stopped struggling and surrendered.
Who's up there?
Said the assailant.
My friends, spluttered Lucy.
Are they armed?
No, they're kids, gasped Lucy.
Show yourselves, ordered the assailant.
Lucy peered up through the cabin hatch, which perfectly framed the starry night sky. A beautiful view, soured by the pain in her knees, which throbbed from her landing.
Kids, I'm not asking again. Show me you're unarmed or your friend gets it, said the assailant.
Lucy listened intently as the teens whispered in the darkness above. Two sets of feet tapped on the deck above and shuffled towards the doorway before the teenagers timidly peered into the cabin.
Show me your hands, ordered the assailant.
Fliss and Jack obliged, revealing empty hands.
Fine,
said the assailant, shoving Lucy against the stairs and training a flashlight in her face.
What do you want?
Said the assailant, remaining in the shadows.
Turn off the light. They might see us,
urged Fliss from above deck.
You should have thought of that before you broke into my home,
snapped the assailant.
Please, we're sorry,
begged Fliss.
You people look sick,
said the stranger, casting the light across the teenagers in turn. It's not contagious, said Lucy.
Oh yeah? Then how come all three of you got it?
It's something we ate. Please turn off the light, implored Lucy. The assailant clicked off the light.
Can you sail? Asked Fliss.
You're on my boat, kid, so what do you think?
Replied the assailant.
I told you he could sail, said Jack.
He? Who you calling a he, beanpole?
Said the assailant, stepping forwards into the dim night light. The boat owner was a portly woman in her late 60s. Her voice had the gruff of a long-term drinker. She was stocky, short, and wide, with a strong build. She was the best fed out of all of them. The boat itself hadn't fared so well. It bore the scent of a bedroom that hadn't been aired in months, and of an owner who had been forced to give up on personal hygiene.
We're trying to escape the city,
It's impossible by land. We need a sailor, said Lucy.
I'm not for hire, snorted the woman.
We can pay you.
With what?
Said the sailor. The boy faltered.
Yeah, no surprises there. I'm not interested in payment anyway. I want you to leave me alone and not come back, said the woman.
Drone!
Cried Fliss, jumping down into the boat, followed closely by Jack.
What are you doing?
Cried the woman.
Shh!
Cried Jack, pulling the cabin hatch shut. The woman turned the flashlight back on and trained it at the three invaders, who shielded their eyes meekly.
Get the hell off my boat, barked the woman.
Turn it off, hissed Jack.
Go fuck yourself, said the woman.
Are you deaf? They've got a freaking drone, cried Fliss.
And?
They're looking for us, said Lucy.
So turn yourselves in.
That would be suicide.
Not my problem.
We'll tell them you helped us, then it would be your problem. It's punishable by death, said Fliss.
Maybe I should hand you in myself, then. Get a reward, said the sailor.
Turn off the light already, urged Jack.
Quiet, all of you,
said the woman, keeping the light on them. The buzzing blades of the quadcopter filled the air as it scoured the marina.
Please turn it off, cried Jack.
The woman held a knife up in front of the flashlight, then flicked the light off. The group stayed huddled in silence. Lucy could hear the teens' breaths over her shoulders while the drone circled overhead before coming to a stationary hover.
It's right above us,
whispered Jack.
What's the range on those things?
Said the sailor.
About 400 meters, said Fliss.
So they're,
began Lucy.
Close by, yeah.
Dread washed over Lucy's body as memories of Charlie's execution came flooding back.
They're using the drone like a beacon. You gotta take it out, said the sailor.
With what?
Throw something. Smash the blades, whatever, but do it quickly,
said the woman. Fliss cast around in the darkness for something to throw, clattering through objects until she found something heavy.
Jack, you get the door. I'll throw on three, said Fliss.
The teens burst onto the deck and the buzzing raged louder. With a yell, Fliss hurled something metallic at the drone, knocking it out of the air. It crashed into the sea, ricocheting off a neighboring boat as it fell.
Got it,
cried Fliss.
All right, now fuck off and leave me alone, said the sailor.
A car revved loudly. It was only a few blocks away.
Too late for that. We need to cast off. Start the engine, said Lucy, leaping above deck.
Are you insane?
Said the sailor, hastening after her. If you want to live, you'll do this now. Otherwise, all four of us will die together, urged Lucy. The screeching of tires skidding around a corner echoed towards them.
God damn it,
yelled the sailor, disappearing below deck and starting the motor. Fliss leapt into the boat opposite and kicked the cabin doors open before disappearing inside the hold.
What are you doing?
Cried Jack, following her.
Find a lighter,
she yelled back. Jack rushed back to the sailor's boat.
Do you have a lighter?
He cried.
What for?
Said the sailor as the engine spluttered back to life.
Just give me a lighter, Jack cried.
The sailor threw him a pack of matches.
Don't go without us,
Fliss yelled to Lucy as she climbed out of the opposite boat and ran back down the pier, carrying a gas can with her brother racing after her.
You, undo the mooring ropes,
barked the sailor, thrusting Lucy onto the pier. She looked across at the teens. Within seconds, the end of the pier was alight with flames 2 meters tall. The sea below burned too as fuel trickled down between the planks, ignited by falling embers from above. The screeching of tires pierced the air again as the search car raced onto the harbor front, skidding to a halt by the flames. As the teens ran back towards the boat, their silhouettes black against the raging fire, Jack tripped, slipping off the pier. He clung to the edge with both hands, his shins submerged in the water, but he couldn't heave himself out. Fliss tried to help, but the lesions had weakened her too. Lucy raced towards the teens. She grabbed Jack's arm and heaved with Fliss, pulling him onto the pier. the three tumbled onwards, sprinting for the boat as a flare shot up overhead, casting a green glow over the marina and throwing them into sharp relief.
"In, quick!"
cried Lucy, chaperoning the teens into the boat as the sound of the car door slamming echoed across the water. She placed two hands on the bow and gave the boat a shove away from the pier, then leaped onto the deck just before the gap became too great. The sailor leaned on the wheel, putting them into a sharp turn as they reversed out.
"Hurry!"
implored Lucy as the sailor pointed them towards the open sea. At that moment, a second vehicle sped down the harbor approach. Lucy's heart froze as she recognized the white SUV rushing at them.
"Take cover!"
she cried, shoving the teens into the cabin below as the sailor cranked the engine to maximum thrust. With a roar, the white SUV hurtled through the flaming barrier and onto the pier, slamming on the brakes as it skidded past row after row of moored boats. Lucy watched in horror as the driver's door of the SUV opened. A tall, black figure emerged. He was clad in a sweeping white robe topped with a crimson-red necklace.
"You took her!"
roared the preacher, pacing to the end of the pier.
"She was innocent and pure, and you took her from me,"
he cried, his voice choking as he yelled.
"God will make you pay for your sins,"
he called as a robed disciple caught up and handed him a shotgun. Lucy hit the deck as the preacher took aim and fired at the boat. The sailor cursed in alarm, ducking down behind the controls. The preacher reloaded and fired again. A pellet struck the cabin window, splintering the acrylic. He loaded and fired several more shells, crying with rage as he took aim each time until his ammunition was spent, wasted on the out-of-range boat.
"By Our Lady, you will pay for your sins,"
he cried, casting the gun aside and sinking to his knees. He outstretched his arms as if reaching for Lucy, then swept them to the side and turned his palms upwards. Tilting his head back, he faced skyward and prayed.